The International Association of Machinist and Aerospace Workers is the union that represents many of the men and women who build business airplanes and their component parts. Tom Buffenbarger is the international president of the IAM. Now, if you look at Tom's bio, you see that he began to be a representative of the IAM back when he was 20 years old, working at the GE jet plant in Ohio. 1986, he moved to Washington, D.C. 1997, he became the international president. What you may not see when you read that bio is Tom's commitment to creating jobs in the United States. Tom served on the Commission on the Future of the U.S. Aerospace Industry, and he was among those that was a strong proponent of NextGen, of creating a bigger aviation industry and expanding the pie by improving efficiency, expanding the capacity of our system. Over the past several months, Tom has been one of the strongest, most consistent, and most effective advocates for business aviation in Washington, D.C. Tom was a leader in our efforts to beat back a proposal in the TARP legislation that would have required the divestiture of business aircraft. Tom has been someone who has accompanied us on many trips to the White House. Tom is someone who has been pushing business aviation personally with the President of the United States at least twice in the last month. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me in welcoming the International President of the IAM, Tom Buffenbarger.
Thank you very much, Ed, for a kind introduction and for the many years of friendship we've enjoyed since we first got to know each other on the U.S. Aerospace Commission. I welcome this chance to speak to the National Business Aircraft Association. It's not often that a labor leader is invited to speak to a business audience. In normal times, we face each other across a bargaining table or, less frequently, a picket line. We do battle over every dime and every dollar and every contract. We use every tool in our well-stocked toolboxes to prevail at the end of the day. And we instinctively go for the jugular. You do, we all do. Because that's the law of the adversarial jungle we inhabit in normal times. But these are not normal times. In this grave recession, our very survival is at stake. Your companies are fighting to survive. My union is fighting to stem the rising tide of joblessness. And our great country is fighting to recover from the worst economic disaster in 80 years. So we have a choice. We can fight our separate fights for survival, or we can fight together as a team for the survival of this industry and its workforce. I hope that for all our sakes, that we decide to fight together as a team. So here's where I'm coming from. Over 90,000 IAM members work in the aerospace industry. Over 70,000 more IAM members work in the air transportation sector. I am fully and painfully aware of the challenges facing each one of you in this grave recession. Why? It's simple. The machinist union is part and parcel of the business aircraft industry. And like this industry, the IAM members are experiencing a ton of pain, with more coming down the pipeline. Over 30,000 of our members are now unemployed. Almost half of them once were unemployed by the companies represented just in this room. I want those men and women back on the job. I want them building airplanes again. And I know you do too. The men and women in this room take great pride in the planes they produce. And so do the machinists. Pride is something we have in common. Pride in our planes, pride in our workmanship, pride in our joint success. I flew here on November 11 Alpha Mike, a Lear 60. I'm proud of our jet. I'm damn proud of the fact that IAM members build it. And I'm proud that IAM members maintain it and pilot it. And I am proud of the millions of miles that jet has flown to every state in this union, every province in Canada, and more than 25 nations around the globe. You see, in the Machinist Union, having an efficient way to visit with our members is vital to our success. I am on the road 250 days or more a year. This past year, I opened negotiations with companies like Boeing in Seattle, Washington, Lockheed Martin in Fort Worth, Texas, and Raytheon in Tucson, Arizona. I walk picket lines in communities like Moncur, North Carolina, Portland, Oregon, Wichita, Kansas, and Eden, Oklahoma. I flew to IMF meetings in Switzerland and in Germany. That's the good IMF, the International Federation of Metal Workers, which I serve as vice president for over 25 million trade unionists globally. Last year, November 11 Alpha Mike flew to Florida, Georgia, Missouri, Kansas, California, Washington, and Illinois to promote America's Edge, our skills, our kids. 7 states in 96 hours with governors on board. I have traveled to Labor Day events in Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin. 5 states in less than 72 hours to rally our members on a single Labor Day weekend. Could I have used commercial flights to meet those tight schedules? Not really. They don't always fly where I need to go, and when I need to be there, and with a quick return. They often don't have connections to the smaller communities where many of our members live and work. And they are never as cost-effective as November 11 Alpha Mike. Time is money, and that is a hard fact of life for both business and labor. In these days of heightened security, even an hour-long commercial flight can become a 3 to 4 hour time commitment. If I were a lawyer, and thank God I'm not, those extra hours would be billed to some client somewhere. But for most business travelers, checking baggage, standing in security lines, sitting near gates, planing, deplaning, picking up luggage, hailing a cab, well, it's just money down the drain. Oh, I know what the public image of business jets is. Fancy toys for fat cats. I watched members of Congress play gotcha with auto executives. I watched senators grandstand on the use of business jets. I watched as the President of the United States took his shots at this industry. And then I watched as thousands of Machinist Union members were laid off because the politicians wanted to score some points at our expense. Well, I've got some advice for those paragons of public virtue. Those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. A congressman who nailed the auto executives on that day in Washington got there on a private jet. The senators who climbed up on their soapboxes to decry business jets didn't bat an eye as they climbed aboard one to fly off to their next fundraiser. And the president? Well, let's just say he owes us a visit to Wichita, Kansas, and we'll leave it at that for a few minutes. Frankly, this industry is too vital to America's success to allow the anger, the passion, and the provocations of the moment to last. We, as a team, need to keep hammering away at some very basic facts. Business aviation supports more than 1.2 million jobs in the United States. Its combined payroll exceeds $53 billion each year. The business aviation generates more than $150 billion in economic output each year. Business aviation manufacturers added $5.9 billion to America's export revenue last year, producing one of the few positive signs in our trade balance. Those are impressive numbers, but numbers are not the lifeblood of this industry. People are. Let us not forget just how impressive people really are. Let's use our political and economic clout. Let's put muscle and manpower where our money flows. Each year, the business aircraft industry spends $18 billion in California, $11 billion in Texas, $7.5 billion in Florida, $8.7 billion in Georgia, $6 billion in Pennsylvania, another $6 billion in Illinois, $7 billion in Kansas, $9.3 billion in New York. Let's work to get the highest levels of our government to speak one little truth. Business aviation is vital to America's economic recovery. Let's team up to get those 8 words in the next State of the Union address or its rebuttal. I've started our campaign back in September when President Obama appeared before the AFL-CIO convention in Pittsburgh. I used my one opportunity at that meeting, and a very brief opportunity at that, to invite him to see the man-made devastation in Wichita, Kansas. He said that the White House would get back to me. The Machinist Union is pressing hard for that visit. A couple weeks ago at a governor's luncheon in Washington, I had a second opportunity and a little more time to visit with him, telling him, when are we going to go to Wichita? And this time his reply was, you tell me when we're going. That letter sits on his desk today. With your help, I believe we can make that visit happen. As a part of a team, you and I can make it happen. When we get the White House to make that fact-finding mission, and here's how. Before you leave today, I want you to take out your pens or your pencils or something in your kit you have. I want you to write down this number, 202-546-1414. That's the White House switchboard number, 202-546-1414. You won't find that one in the phone book. Leave a message for Rahm Emanuel, the chief of staff, a one-time intern at IAM headquarters, political department in Washington, D.C. Leave a message for Chief of Staff Emanuel. Make it brief. Make it businesslike. But make it clear that as a member of the National Business Aviation Association, you believe it is imperative that President Barack Obama visit Wichita, Kansas. Make it clear to him that the fate of this uniquely American industry hangs in the balance. But please make the call. The White House switchboard is waiting for your call. I sound like Billy Mays this morning. That's step one. Step two is getting those 8 words into the next State of the Union address or its rebuttal. And those words again were, write these down. Business aviation is vital to America's economic recovery. That will take a little more teamwork. See, all those states I mentioned a few minutes ago, the ones where this industry spends more than $6 billion a year, well, the governors and the senators of those states should receive a visit from our team. After Thanksgiving and before Christmas, the White House speechwriters will be busy crafting that State of the Union message. We need those big state governors and senators to drop a brief note to Jonathan Favreau, President Obama's Director of Speechwriting. He is the youngest person to ever serve in that capacity. He is an accomplished writer and is credited with popularizing Yes, We Can. But there's one thing you should also know about Jon Favreau. According to his Wikipedia file, he is afraid of flying. So we have our work cut out for us. But if we work together as a team, if we work those big state governors hard, if we work those two senators from those states, then we should be able to get eight little words into that speech. And in the immortal words first crafted by Jon Favreau, can we do it? Yes, we can. Ladies and gentlemen, from a union that's working on its 122nd year, almost twice as old as this great organization, I have welcomed this opportunity to appear before you. I thank you for the kind invitation. We will be your newest members before we leave here, and I look forward to working with you. Many of you we already work together with, but I look forward to working with the greater community of the NBAA and with Gamma to promote this industry and propel it back into the future where it belongs. Thank you very much.